Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today we have Awaken with Maria and Monica with my guest and co-host and friend, Monica Sepulveda. And we're going to be talking about spiritual stuff so we get a breather from the news as much as we can. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Maria.
How you doing?
Sorry. I'm doing well.
Good.
Yeah, got my coffee, you know.
Awesome. We could have coffee talk.
Exactly. With the M&Ms.
Well, you know, yesterday I had an interesting encounter I'll share with you. You know, once a year I have my plumber come in to change all my filters on my RO and all this stuff. And he always brings his son, who he's apprenticing. The kid's like 18. And the father and the son couldn't be more far apart, politically, spiritually, or any other way. And this kid is sharing with me that, you know, he knows all about the Freemasons. He asked me about aliens. He asked me about the Federal Reserve. I mean, this kid was so well informed, I couldn't believe it. And I think his father was in a state of shock that I was answering this kid's questions and having quite a conversation with him. And then he said, you know, from the last time I checked out your YouTube channel and I've been surfing it and, you know, I'm learning a lot. And what do you think about this? And are we really living in a matrix? And I suggested he read The Holographic Universe. And you know what? By the time we were done with his dad just eavesdropping on it, his father was all smiles and gave me a big hug. And when the kid was leaving, I said, listen, if you ever want to just come by and talk about these things, you're more than welcome. You know, because to me, teaching young people, especially informed young people, who could ask for more?
Oh, you bet. And that was not a coincidence yesterday.
No, and his father said, wow, if she's willing to talk to you, you should take her up on it. But you know what? I meet a lot of kids this way. I spent Friday night with an 18-year-old boy, a separate 18-year-old.
Oh, you did, Maria?
Well, not that way. He was a son of one of my friends, and she had to go out, and I was taking my granddaughter to dinner, so I forced him to come along. But you know what? After a short while, I changed his whole perspective on his own life. And that leads me, wow, what a great segue. I didn't even think of this before the show. One of my listeners has asked, you know, how do you find your life purpose? How do you get passionate? You know, how do you get to the level of Monica, Maria, or David Icke? And what's interesting, you know, it's almost like I can answer that question so much clearly now that I remembered Friday night.
Well, that's why I said it wasn't a coincidence.
Right. So here's this young man. He's an Aries. Okay.
Just like me.
Right. He's an Aries. He's 18. He's good looking. He's tall. He's smart. And he describes himself to me this way. I'm really antisocial. He was all excited about maybe being able to get a job at, I don't know, O Tires or something. I don't know, because I don't ever go for tires. And this was his big goal and dream.
Yeah.
So we take him to dinner and the kid's chatting away and I know how to pull information out of people. And I said to him, you know, to describe yourself as antisocial, you're wrong. Because you're not having any problem being social with us. I said, the difference is you're an Aries, okay? And you already know you're better than most of your peers on many levels, and that's not a judgment of them.
I said, but it's true.
Right. I said, and if you think you came into this life to work at Big O Tires, I says, you better start reevaluating that. And then it was on, okay? What was interesting is when his mother came home, it was like she found a brand new son. And when she overheard me tell her son that, she said, oh, thank God you said that to him. So I gave him some pointers on where to go because, you know, like you, I have the ability, if someone asks, I don't go messing around inside people's heads or spying on them. But I do have the ability when they ask to tell them why they're here and who they are. And I think a lot of people, if you know, listen, even my plumbist son, when that kid started asking me if this is a real reality, it was on. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what gave you the clue, right?
Right. But you know what? To explain to these young people, and some of them are aware, some of them are not, but they're surely curious, which is why I prefer young clients. I mean, not that I turn away anybody, but, you know, for students, I mean, they're great. And to see them waking up, and then you see the media constantly slamming the millennials, okay, to try to put them down and let us think they're all useless and all of this. I don't meet any millennials like that, and I meet a lot of young people because of my children and my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I can sit and talk with them for hours because they actually want to know.
Yes.
So now back to the question, what's your view on life purpose and passion?
You don't discover your life purpose or your passion by your thoughts. It's not something that you think about. It's something that you feel. You're compelled. Like, I originally studied Italian and French and Spanish, and I wanted to be an interpreter at the UN. Now I interpret spirit, right?
Right.
So I was following along the right lines. But it's a feeling. It was a calling. I was very young. From the time I was maybe 14 years old, I was already predicting. I saw things in the future. Mm-hmm. So I just started following that, even though I was still studying the other foreign language. And what's interesting is I remember a line back then that said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So the thing is that you have to look at what you feel makes you the happiest. And what when you are connected with that, that's exactly what you do. So if you want to be like someone else, like you said, he mentioned he'd like to be at the same level as you, me, or David, or whoever, you know, the key is that he has to be himself, but he has to find his niche. And the key is he's looking for it intellectually instead of feeling it. Once you feel it, like, I mean, I've had people that come to me that said, I don't know what my life's purpose is. What do you love to do? One lady said, I just like to read. I said, then go to work for a publishing house. They always need people to read books. Mm-hmm. She did that, loved it. Another one said, I just like to go shopping. And so I said, great, study, you know, colored some, you know, when you, there's different kinds of palettes for different kinds of skin types. I said, study that. You like to organize closets. She's now in Hollywood, and she's a stylist. Doing very well. Another lady liked to walk. She loved to be with animals, walk dogs and stuff. So she went to the most expensive city in the area. I was living in South San Francisco at the time, and she went to Hillsborough, and she made cards, and now she walks animals for these very wealthy people and makes a very good living. So you can take anything that you love and turn it into a career or a life's purpose. Now, he is clearly zooming in on an area. And like I always say, nobody dominates any one field. There's room for everybody. So what he needs to do is go into his feelings and ask himself the question, what is it that I love to do? And you've got to start there. And then from there, it starts to come to us. It's kind of like we take the first step and the rest of it we attract it like a magnet.
Right. Well, another suggestion I give people that say, you know, I can't remember what makes me happy. I don't know what makes me happy. I tell them to make a list of the things that don't make you happy. Because the process of elimination works, too.
So what I do is I ask them, I love doing this so much I could do it 10 hours a day. Okay, maybe that's playing video games. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they like the couch potato. Okay, so you like viewing things. So maybe you could go to work, you know, with a company where they need people to be watching things and giving their opinion. I mean, there's so many things we can do, and we're not limited, but we limit ourselves because we try to think of the answer instead of feel it. Like I said, as soon as we have an answer, the people that we need show up, and that happens all by itself. And I think a lot of people get hung up on the how is it going to happen.
Right.
That's the worst question we can ask ourselves is how, because that's none of our business. That's like planting a seed in the ground and wondering how it's going to grow. Well, all you do is just keep watering it, leave the rest to the universe, you know,
right,
or higher power, whatever, source will take care of it. We have to trust more and have a better relationship and make contact with that source on a daily basis in order to be led. And the lead that I'm talking about is receiving the information intuitively, which means get out of the left brain go into the right brain, open up that pineal pituitary gland, and allow that information intuitively to come to us to give us the answer. Mm-hmm. But people don't know how to do that because of their emotions.
Right.
The emotions are the ones that get in the way of us reaching our heart and our right brain.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because talk about synchronicity. I always post one a day, a positive spiritual message on my Worldwide Readings with Maria Facebook page. And today's I put up, that thing we call intuition, it's your soul. You can trust it.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly, because it doesn't lie. It doesn't know how to lie, but the left brain certainly lies and torments us. And when people get stuck there, they keep going, like, I call it looping. This mental looping, and you keep thinking of the same thing over and over again. I just felt, shut the fuck up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Get out of your
Well, you know, if people look at every time they didn't listen to their intuition and the results, that would, I think, help them trust it more.
And a lot of people ask me, how do you know the difference? I said, okay, here's the way it works. It's not that hard. Intuition comes through with ideas. And ideas that you're capable of achieving. It can never give you an idea that you're not capable of achieving, like I'll never be a rocket scientist. So I would never receive that information. So therefore, it gives you ideas of what you're capable of doing. And most people then go, but what if it doesn't work? What if I can't learn? What if I'm not able to do? What if, what if, what if, what if?
Right.
And that's the left brain interfering. And as soon as that happens with those thoughts, the emotions kick in of fear and worry and feelings of not being deserving. And then the person says, oh, well, I guess, you know, maybe it's not right for me. The key is when you first get the message with the idea, immediately take action. I learned to do that a long time ago, and my gosh, the results are like almost instant.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. So I always tell people when that happens, write down what came to you, take action, do not question it, do not do anything, just go for it. Just start taking the first steps and the rest will follow.
Exactly. And like I said earlier, you know, sometimes making a list of the things you don't want or don't like helps. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because now that he asked that question this morning, I realized how many other people have asked me that question this week. So actually, right before the show, I was finishing up a little email read for one of my clients overseas. And she's been a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. And now she's got to get back out there because her relationship ended. And she doesn't know what to do. And she wanted to know, you know, what am I passionate about? What do I do?
Kind
of funny.
People always ask that.
Right. But it was interesting because when I looked, you know, at her timeline, I saw that, you know, I gave her what I saw. Anything in the arts, anything in the healing arts would make you happy. Because what I've learned is there's no sense working, you know, 40 hours a week for your entire life at something that makes you miserable.
Oh, yeah. I left that in 1977.
Well,
I always tell people my last job was in 1977.
my last job was in 1985. I remember the day. I was so happy. I was married at the time, and I had this really moron for a boss who was actually jealous that my skills and brains were smarter than his. And my sister.
That's when you should be self-employed, Maria.
Well, I've been self-employed since 85. But what was interesting is that
I started in 77
right.
with $100 in my wallet and no clients.
Well, I remember coming home and telling my husband, you know what, I've been working since I'm 13. And at that time, I had just started painting. I had just started reading tarot cards. And I said to him, I'd like to take the summer off to see if I can make a living with my art. And I see both of the things I do, painting, spirituality, my show, everything to me is my art.
Yeah.
And, you know, since we were married, it was only fair to ask, you know, what do you think? Could I take a summer off? And that was it. It was the longest summer on record. So.
I actually have a message for you.
I'll
just,
take
as
it.
As you were talking, it just popped in my head. So is it okay with you if I tell you?
Sure.
Okay. Utilize your art by customizing artwork for a client. By tuning in on them and everything that shows up as a symbol, you put that in the picture. So let's say, for instance, one simple idea. Let's say the person is a Sagittarius, and in the picture somewhere, you're going to have the sign of the Sagittarius, the symbol for it. If the person's an animal lover, somewhere in the picture you're going to have, you know, beautiful animals. If they're a dog lover, then some dogs. If they really watch the stars all the time, then someplace in the picture you're going to have the stars. Everything that represents who they are, that's what the picture's about.
Right. Well, I was giggling because, first of all, I'm not currently painting. I'm just too busy with all the other things I do. I go by the mood. Made my living as a painter, and I made a very good living, I did exactly that. So I had clients that would come to my studio and tell me what was important to them. And they would want, you know, some of them wanted to be painted as a mermaid. Most of them, because I lived by the beach, were mermaids. And, you know, all their stuff, the things that were important, were floating in the water around them. And I can't tell you how many of those I did and how well received. And then I got to the point where I started putting Reiki symbols behind my painting, so that people that bought the painting would benefit from the Reiki energy emanating from the painting.
Exactly. Yeah, almost subliminal, but yet right there.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I get it. I get it because whatever we look at, you know, when I was raised, my mother always had motivational, inspirational quotations all over the house. You open the cupboard to get the dishes, quotations inside the cupboard, inside the medicine cabinet, on the mirror, in the bathroom, in the refrigerator outside. So we were indoctrinated just by reading all this stuff. Mm. And I mean, my mother had an eighth grade education, but she knew that even if you walk by and you read that quote once before, your subconscious is going to take it in again. And when you compound that over and over and over day by day, all of a sudden it becomes your own thought and you start to live like that. Mostly it was Ralph Waldo Emerson, self-reliance.
Well, that sounds good.
Oh yeah, it was a great way to be raised.
Right. I mean, when I was in school a long time ago, I went to Jefferson High School in Brooklyn, Thomas Jefferson. And they had a big statue of Jefferson in the main lobby that you had to pass like 1,000 times a day, changing classes and all that. And I remember the quote. I saw it every single minute of every single day, and I quote it often. And the quote was, "To thine own self be true."
Right. Not an accident, is it?
And it certainly permeated into my spirit because, as you know, I'm not really like most people.
Oh, really?
Right. And I don't really care what most people think about it. You know, when I was younger, my own sisters couldn't understand me. If they say they all wanted to get together and play a game, if I wasn't in the mood, I would just say no.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew it was not a decision that was going to be changeable. And, you know, as adults, when my sister and I were having a conversation about that, she says, "You know what? You never did anything you didn't want to do." She says, "No matter how much we begged you or if we were going to be miserable because you wouldn't play, when you said no, it was no." And that's pretty much how I live my life. I don't do anything I don't want to do. And I obviously was that way, you know, probably right out of my mother. But
yeah, I was completely the opposite. I was extremely overly sensitive. I was picking up stuff from a very early age, and so I was too sensitive. Of course, my upbringing was a difficult one, but, you know, that's due to my past life that I had, which was interesting. And, oh, good segue, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, and so...
Another good segue.
Yeah, and so I realized when I thought I was being victimized, it was actually I was paying off karma from a past incarnation. And a lot of people ask me, how come we don't remember our past lives and incarnations? I said, because it would drive us mad. We can't even deal with what's happening in this lifetime.
Right.
And we're traumatized, and people end up on medications, seeing analysts or whatever. Can you imagine having total recall of all your past lives? Uh-uh. We're blessed not to have recall of past lives, but you can't access.
Well, I always tell people, here's your clue if you want to look at your past lives. If you're here in the here and now, you were not a saint or a good person, okay?
Yeah.
Chances are good you were a real son of a bitch.
Yeah, I had a past life where I was pretty brutal, and in this lifetime I had to pay a lot of karma, which is why my work is completely dedicated toward humanitarianism and helping other people to the expense of my own personal life. I didn't have one. Never got married, never had children. And all I've done is work since I was 14, like you, you know? Started my own business, but I had that kind of savvy. And then when I started my own business, I just knew it was time, and I just let go of all the other stuff I was setting. And I just, like I said, I only had $100 in my wallet, and I just said, it's time to start now. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from four women who wanted a reading. I didn't even know what to charge them at the time, because I had just made a decision 4 hours earlier that I was going to start my own business doing sessions and readings since I started doing readings professionally in 1972. And so, and one thing led to another. The first year I'd go to their homes, 20 women would be there, because only women used to get readings back in the day.
I did plenty of those.
To a different city and a different city, and that's how I made my living the first year, until I finally got smart and got on radio. So that's how it's just like I said, when it's time, everything appears. Whatever it is that you need, it just comes to you.
Right.
But my past life was showing me a lot of things that I did that explained why I had to go through this kind of a lifetime. So people say, well, how do I access, you know, past lives? Well, first of all, a lot of things that are happening in this lifetime, whether they be a phobia, a hatred for a particular culture, or a dislike, an intense dislike for certain things, and like I couldn't stand any Asian thing around me. And I went to that past life, found out why. It was Japan, and I was a servant. And so I thought, no way. This way, as a female, you know, I'm a very strong female now, but I had to grow to get to that place. But I saw that past life, and you can dream about it. You can ask for that to come through in a dream state, and you will. But be ready.
Right.
Because you're going to see some things that you may not like. I also love to sing, and I'm a very good singer, actually. That would have been my second choice if I didn't do this work, but this one outweighed it. So I saw myself in my past life living in the early, it was the late 1800s, and I was an Italian opera singer, and I remember being on stage and singing and having a great voice and getting the applause. So the thing is, when you ask for it, I've had an aversion to go to Hawaii. I've been invited so many times, probably 20 times, I would say no way.
Mm.
And I also realized that, like, heat hurts my skin. I can't take hot showers. They have to be lukewarm or almost cold. I saw a past life where I was 14 years old and I was thrown into a volcano as a virgin. And from that, I had a fear of heights. I was trying to understand why I feared heights, especially on mountains, and also why hot water hurts my skin. And even when I drink coffee, it's got to be warm. It can't be hot because it hurts my skin. So you can find out the explanation to whatever goes on in your life by actually dreaming and ask the dream to come through. Why is it that I have this particular aversion? And it could be because of suffering from that particular lifetime in that country is why you don't want to ever go there.
Right.
So I think people should take the initiative to start off at least with that one tool. I want to dream about, why do I have this particular fear? Because fear is probably the worst thing. It's a mobilizer, false evidence appearing real. It's actually the absence of love. And love is what grows all things. So when we're in fear, we're actually disconnected from source.
Right.
Worry is another one. And why do we worry about certain things? Let's say even finances. Well, we have to go back to a past life many times to find out why that is. I found out that information as well, just this morning, in fact. So the third way of looking for a past life, this way is a little bit intimidating, but I'm going to share it if you don't mind.
Sure.
You take a mirror, and it's in the evening, and you light a candle, but you put the candle behind the mirror so that you're not looking at the little flame. Then look in the mirror and look like a makeup mirror. That's perfect size. And look at the mirror and just only look at your eyes. And what will happen is, as you're looking at your eyes, all of a sudden the entire mirror goes black, except you can still see your eyes. And then all of a sudden it comes back to normal, but you have a different face. You might be a man, you might be you might be a child, you might be an alien, because we don't just reincarnate to this planet, we reincarnate to a lot of different places.
Well, yeah, so, and I've taught that, and I'll tell you what, that little technique has scared the crap out of a lot of people.
Oh, it does. You have to be careful. And I wouldn't suggest that you do it alone, because I was doing it so much, knowing me, you know, OCD. I was doing it for long periods of time because I wanted to know. And every time, I got to the point where every time I passed by a mirror, I wouldn't look at it because I thought that maybe another face would be staring at me. So you've got to do this like maybe 10 minutes at a time only, and then take notes afterwards and say, okay, no, that can't hurt me. It's just revealing who I was in a past incarnation. But the faces, well, there's no doubt about it that you'll see a different face. And it's almost like a wave of energy. It goes dark, and then it comes back to normal, you see the picture, and then it goes dark again, and it comes back, sometimes within a matter of a minute.
Right. So did you ever see that old movie with Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep, where they go to heaven and they walk down the hall of reincarnation and they actually look in a full-length mirror and start seeing flashes of who they were before?
Yeah, absolutely, of course. Yeah.
That's a great movie, but right now I can't think of the name of it.
I can't either. It'll come back. Anyway, so that particular technique works well. You've got to do it in the evening. And then you're going to start feeling spirits standing behind you, and it's not spirits that are there to hurt you. It's usually your spirit guides that are there to protect. And you can call for anyone, even a family member who's already crossed over, to be with you during that session, because it can be very intimidating and scary. So that's the second way of doing it. Those are two quick ways of doing it. There's other ways where I actually take people through a semi-hypnosis state where I walk them through a particular routine that I have. Actually, it's on YouTube. If you go to Monica Sepulveda on YouTube, you'll see my lessons, and there's one about reincarnation, and actually it's a 45-minute process where I talk people down into a mental laboratory and going into a particular room that goes into your past life. That one is a lot of fun, but again, what you have to do is disassociate your emotions. Do not become the observer. Do not feel anything, because if you're going to get your head chopped off in a past life, you don't want to feel that one, you know? So that's on YouTube. I completely forgot. I taught that lesson when I was on The People's Voice in London. You and I were both on that.
Right.
And so I don't know if you have recordings of that on YouTube of your shows, but I definitely have mine on there. And I saved like 8 lessons. That was all.
Great. Yeah, that movie, yeah. By the way, because that was driving me nuts. It's called Defending Your Life. And if people listening haven't seen it, absolutely watch it. Because this, first of all, it's hilarious. Second of all, there's a lot of truth in that movie.
Defending Your Life, is that it?
Yeah, that's the name of that movie. I own it. Every now and then I'll watch it because it cheers me up.
Yeah, I have a copy of that movie too. I bought it.
Well, there you have it. You know, I have to tell you this, because while you were talking, Spirit said you need to share your story with Monica. You talked about your aversion to going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm supposed to tell you that I had the same exact thing and what happened. Okay. And it fits in with today's topic on reincarnation.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. I even had a sister living in Hawaii for 7 years and never went there. Okay. That particular sister ended up dying. But for most of the time she was in Hawaii, she was on Oahu, which, of course, as you know, is where Pearl Harbor is. And it just so happened that I teamed up with this business partner, and we were putting together a golf tournament in Kauai and Oahu. We had been to several islands. And that's when I used to do that kind of work. Anyway, one afternoon, I borrowed her car because all my friends said, oh, Maria, you have to go to Pearl Harbor. You're going to be there. You should go, blah, blah, blah. So I borrowed a car and I went to Pearl Harbor alone. Now, on the drive to Pearl Harbor, gorgeous day, I'm driving an expensive convertible, right? Yay, the wind in my hair. And on the radio station I was listening to, which was oldies from like the 60s and 70s,
yeah, when the music was good, right?
Right. But out of the blue, totally out of field, left field, one of the old songs by the Platters comes on that was It's Twilight Time. Okay.
Oh, God, that's so good. Yes.
All right. Because that's important. Now, my mother used to sing that. So I thought, oh, okay, is my mother visiting with me? Okay, well, enjoy the song. It came out of nowhere. Well, I get to Pearl Harbor, and the feeling of heaviness that came over me, I can't even tell you. And I'm walking through the museums before you see the film that they force you to watch. And as clear as day, I see my sister that crossed walking through the gift shop. And, you know, for me, it seems so normal, I start following her. But then she kind of disappeared. And the next thing I know, I'm watching this film of how the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, the commemorations, and how everybody goes there once a year, and on a small piece of paper, you write the name of one of the sailors that died, you throw it off the ship with a rose, And I'm looking as they're pulling all these old names from the original footage of Pearl Harbor. And I see a name right offhand. I don't remember his whole name, but his name, the last name was Lee, L-E-E. And here I am, I'm on, you know, I think it was the USS Arizona, right? And I live in Arizona. And I see the name Lee, and I see it a couple of times. And, you know, and I get electrified in the theater. When that name came up on the screen, I got shot with like a bolt of lightning. That's what it felt like. So I'm like, okay, let me write that down. It must be important. Let me write it down. The next thing you know, we're on the boat. You have to take a ferry to get out to the ships. Mm-hmm. I'm all alone. I mean, there's hundreds of people on this boat. I start crying like nobody's business. I mean, people wouldn't even approach me. I must have been bawling out loud, and I really didn't know why. And when I get on the ship and I start looking out at the island, in my head, I said to my sister, oh, I could see why you like living here. And then the movie starts because I get stuff like a motion picture. And it seems this kid, Lee, was on that ship with his brother. And they were both young. They looked Polynesian. I saw the whole thing. And the next thing I know, I was like, I felt like I was inside one of their bodies. We were in the engine room and we heard the bomb and we looked at each other across the room and that, and we both just exploded. Well, now I'm really going nuts crying, okay? Because that was a past life I was shown. And it's interesting because that happened on her birthday. And she reincarnated, you know, within 20 years of that, she was back on Earth. Probably because she had an unfinished life. But the interesting thing was she spent her whole life growing up wanting to go and live in Hawaii. And I felt the total opposite. So I assumed because she had her life cut off short, she wanted to finish it there. And I did, because my life was cut short, I didn't want to be there.
You know, Maria, what an interesting story, because now I'm starting to see where you and I connect.
Right. Because that's why I'm telling you the story.
I died in World War II, but mine was in Auschwitz, and I actually went to Auschwitz, just like you went to Hawaii. I went to Auschwitz-Birkenau, where I am buried, and I started bawling when I was there as well, too, because I knew the things that I had done were not good things.
Right, but you know what? When I was crying, I had no idea why. It started before I even got there, before I even had what I'll call a vision.
Then
I looked up the two names, and it ended up that they were indeed brothers, because there's a lot of records there. My mother, think about it, my mother, an Italian woman, I think my sister was born in 51 on December 6th, gave my sister as a middle name. The name Lee, L-E-E.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, and then I looked at, you know, the day of Pearl Harbor was her birthday, you know, X years later.
December 7th?
Right. Well, she was on the 6th, so she was there for the big baboom.
Oh, wow.
When you look at it and then you start doing some research, you know, listen, like you said, people need to be careful when they go researching because you need to be at a certain spiritual level just to be able to handle what you're going to get.
Oh, but it does explain, it's worth it in the long run because it does explain our lifetime now because we are a sum total of our past lives.
Exactly.
So I noticed that it explained my life completely. And the point I was trying to make is that you and I have a past life in World War II, which would have been, for me, Nazi Germany, for you, Japan. And those are the two countries that were aligned because they were left out of the Treaty of Versailles after World War I. So they became allies. And it's very interesting how yours is in Japan and Hawaii, or Hawaii rather, but the Japanese were the ones that threw the bombs. And I am in Nazi Germany and Auschwitz and I was Polish, Jewish. But anyway, this is one of the things I wanted to address. And I'm glad that you're talking about your past life because I'm now seeing how we're connected in a particular era. And I want people to start researching their past lives because it's going to help you understand your fears, your phobias, your hates, your loves. When you have a passion towards something, even this guy that asked you the question, what is my purpose? You know what? If you start investigating your past lives, it's going to move you closer to that.
Right. Anyway, Monica, we have to take a short break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I may even have a couple of more suggestions for you. I'm sure Monica will.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to Awaken, Maria and Monica. We're astounding each other on the air, so I hope you guys are enjoying it. Well, you know what? It's just so much more fun than just living in a flat, three-dimensional world like a majority of people are trapped into, and they don't realize they're trapped in it. They don't realize reincarnation is a trap of this system. They don't have to come back here. Or how much their past lives are, you know, listen, when people ask me they want to do a past life regression, most people can't handle what they're going to find out. And my thought's always the same. Why don't you go to a future life progression and see who you're going to be in your next life? That's life affirming. That's something positive. It's usually better than this one. Do you know what I mean?
You know, it was interesting that you're saying that, Maria, because I had like an avatar come to me. And he gave me a book, and when you open the pages and looked at the pictures turned into a movie. They weren't just still, they turned into a movie that showed you what happened after that, before the picture was taken. I thought, wow, this is really cool. So he said, now let's look at your future. So I opened up the book, and at first I saw empty pages, but then he said, this is what's on track for you for the next 5 years. And I could, from that book alone, can make decisions of what I wanted to change, because he said you have free will. So if you don't like what you're seeing, then that's when you need to make some adjustments, because if it doesn't feel right, it's not right. So I started seeing pictures of myself in the future, and everything I saw back in 1987 has come to pass.
Wow, that's great.
I'd love to see that book again. It's amazing how it turns into a motion picture in a book.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of times, especially when I'm doing readings for people that I don't even see, most of them I never see, you know, physically in person. The way my gifts work, I guess it's because I'm a visual artist. I see movies, you know, and I put the movie together and just sit and watch the movie. Say, okay, this is what's happening. And that's the way I get shown things, you know, as I said earlier, even with, you know, Pearl Harbor. But once I made that trip, what was interesting is I got back to my hotel room and I called my best friend in New York and I told her, I told her what had happened. And I said to her, I don't want to be here. I want to get back to my life. And she saw that as me not wanting to be in the past and wanting to get back to my current life. And she found that very interesting, you know, and she, you know, she kind of talked me through it. But I'll tell you what, I had been back to Hawaii several times after that and had a blast every time. All those negative feelings were gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to go back to Auschwitz for the same reason, different perspective. And I took lots of pictures there, by the way, but it was an eerie place to be. I think that everybody should go just to see how blessed they are. You know, you really look to see how much we complain about nothing.
Right. Well,
and when you go there, when you don't have anything and you see the suffering, hell on earth, you really realize how blessed you are. And so to me, I tell people, if you're planning on going, go. Definitely go, because it is so horrible. It's like looking at, and even though it's been 70 years or more, you still feel that energy there. It's trapped. Wow. Not even birds will fly over that place. Wow. So I want to go back again now, but it'll be different. So when you go back, now you have a different perspective because you were able to find the missing answers. And this is why I think it's important for people to, because, you know, a lot of times people will tell me, I can't stand wearing turtlenecks. Well, let's go back into a past life and they were hung.
Oh, yeah, I can't have anything on my neck. And that's another thing. You know, I have my birthmark. We didn't bring up, let's talk about birthmarks. Birthmarks are usually a clue to how you died in a past.
Oh my God, I can't believe you're saying this. Maria, I have Orion on my arm in birthmarks.
Well, I have what they call a nevus in the back of my neck. So no surprise to me that I was probably hung several times in past lives. I had knives stuck in the back of my neck.
Me too.
And what's interesting is my kids have the same birthmark and my granddaughter has the same birthmark.
Oh my gosh.
So I said, we must have all been hung in Salem.
And typically your birthmark will stay there for your whole life. But you know what happened with mine? I had the complete constellation of Orion on my arm because I know I have a strong connection with extraterrestrials from Orion, but it was on my arm. But guess what happened? Over the past few years, it's completely disappeared. How do birthmarks that were very, very prominent disappear? I don't know.
Well,
it's weird. It's gone.
I don't know either. Maybe you might have come from Orion, but maybe you're not going back to Orion.
Yeah, and maybe I'm not in touch with them anymore because I had a deal with them. That's another story for another day. Aliens and in our lives, because since I was four, I was connected to them, you know. But again, I wanted to stick with past lives and reincarnation because it'll answer all of our questions about why.
Right.
That's what we want to know. What happened and why? And what do I need to learn? And why did I have this kind of lifetime? You know, the answers are contained within those past lives.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that young man yesterday asked me if I believed in aliens. And I said, oh, yeah. And he said, what do they look like? You know, how many planets do you think are inhabited? You know, I mean, the kid was so open. It was great.
Well, you got to go beyond the Milky Way because the ones that are really helping us now are from Andromeda. And they are, let me explain to you, because they've come to my room, and David knows, I told him how one of them threw something from the window into my room. Of course, it didn't break anything, but it smashed itself against my wall, and things went flying across the room. And I went, wow. And people go, didn't that scare you? I go, no, I asked for it to happen again. I said, do it again. Oh. But he appeared as a hologram, and they're either 7 feet tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, or they're Asian looking. And I had some experiences with the Asians where they did some surgeries and stuff and took me aboard, you know, and they did the surgery right there on my right side. A month later, I had an emergency appendectomy on that same side. And I don't know if they were trying to tell me that this was coming up for me. This was last year.
Right.
Or if they were the cause of it. I don't know the answer to that. But I'm telling you, exploring extraterrestrials, you better be ready because they can be very intimidating.
Right.
And I had been doing my life for a long time. Stealing my ova. There was a movie on television called The Intruders, and I was interviewed by Mary Richards, one of the producers from Dallas, and my story was incorporated in that movie. That movie was released on CBS. And so she told me, she says, yeah, a lot of you made agreements before incarnation that you were going to be helping these extraterrestrials create hybrids, and they were the ones from Orion, the ones with the big heads and long, elongated eyes. No mouth, you know, the ones we saw in ET. And so they have created hybrids because they don't have emotions. And I remember when they took me up on board and they said, how do you give love to this child? I said, whose child is that? And they said, it's yours. They said that I had three of them there. And there was, I'm going to tell you something that's very, you know, like I haven't told anybody this. It's going to be in my book. But I was pregnant at one time and I went to the doctor and I thought, it's not my time to have a child. So I went in for a DNC to have it removed. And my report came back, you know, we saw that you were pregnant because we took the test, but when we went in for the DNC, your womb was evacuated. There was nothing there. It was gone.
Hmm.
And I wish I would have kept that letter because that could have been evidence in my book, but I don't know why. I think I was so freaked out.
Well, that would freak you out. It kind of reminds me, you know, my teacher Sunbear used to say, don't call in, you know, if you want to work with spirits, don't call in a spirit unless you're ready to work with them.
And same with extraterrestrials, the same thing. You
be
better
careful
be ready
what
because
you're
they
asking
take you
for.
Seriously.
Exactly. You know, earlier we were talking about, you know, let's try to get back a little bit to that passion, passion and how to know your goals and this and that. Once you really know or you want to know, or you're asking the universe for whatever, I always instruct people, even if I give them a mantra, to always mm-hmm. add at the end of it. It doesn't matter how it happens.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I always say to people, look, there's so many different tools if you want to do this work. Study healing, study, you know, numerology, study astrology, study everything. That's what I did growing up. I studied everything. And then I finally realized my greatest gift was as a medium. Even though my work is to empower people and help them get some their own power back, I love doing that too because they have aha moments, but I still love my mediumship work the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because speaking to people, family members who've crossed over brings them a lot of peace. And this year I've had 5 deaths in my family, you know?
Right.
Especially my favorite cousin who's like a brother, and that's the one that's been hurting me the most. I know he's happy, you know? But
right.
I'm looking at his urn right now, you know? And so that's what reminded me of it. The thing about it is what lives is the spirit. The body we lose. And so people need to focus more on the spirit because that's going to be allows us to conquer this lifetime. And pay attention to Einstein's quotations because he figured it out.
Right.
He figured it out. Life is energy and that's all there is. It's frequencies, it's dimensions, it's vibrational frequencies. And when we raise our vibrational frequency to match that which we want to achieve, we will get it. There is no other way. And this is not philosophy, it is physics.
Right.
So if people start looking at it from that point of view, you can figure it out. And as our dot connector, David Icke said, you know, once you connect those dots, it all makes sense.
Exactly.
You know, I've been blessed to know him. You've known him a lot longer than I have. I've known him for 15 years. You met him back in the 1995 or something.
Who remembers? No, I don't think so. I don't think I met David before 2000.
Oh, 2000. I met him in 2002 after 9/11. I wrote an email, and actually I got a response. That was back in the day, though. And so it's interesting to hear what he has to say because he fills in the blanks a lot of times for me when I can't figure it out. Because you know,
right.
in this country, we get you know media that can be twisted. It's not it's not the real story. So I ask him questions, and he'll let me know what's going on. But anyway, I'm getting off the track of our topic, which is, purpose.
No.
And the purpose, again, must be felt. You cannot, just like when a person says, what kind of career should I get into next? I says, don't look at career books. Don't talk to a career counselor. Look within yourself. The answers are always within yourself. And look at the feelings that you're getting. What do I feel compelled to do? If my life was a perfect 10, what would I be doing?
Right.
I mean, who can't answer that question? If my life is a perfect 10, what would I be doing? That's how you set goals. Okay, I'm getting it.
Hey, your voice feels like it just went into an echo. Did you do something different?
No, I'm still on speakerphone. Maybe I moved the phone away from me. Do you hear me better?
Yes, I hear you better now.
Okay. I was just, I'm animated. Being Latina, we use our arms and we fling them around, right? So I'm holding this phone. And I'm talking with my hands, swinging them around, so shame on me.
That's the way we are.
We're passionate. I'm not like reserved. No. I'm an Aries with a lot of Taurus and Pisces rising, and I'm animated because I'm Latina.
Right. And another thing we did mention, a lot of times your astrology chart will give you a lot of past life information.
You bet. And so does numerology. And both of those coincide perfectly. They don't oppose each other. They're complementary. So that, it's a good place to look. You're absolutely correct.
And one thing I will say, but I'm going to plead the fifth at the beginning. This is not to endorse Scientology on any level, but years ago I had a friend in New York who was a practicing Scientologist, and I guess she had to do homework for several months in order to get certified as what they call an auditor. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with their program for auditing.
Of course I am.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I worked with her. I volunteered because she needed somebody. And I have to tell you this about that. The most powerful, quickest, efficient method of past life, not just recall, but erasing a lot of the bad stuff that's still attached to you. I was astounded by her. I was astounded by what we uncovered and the very fact that there was no abracadabra going on. She didn't wait to put you in a trance or anything. I have found that to be one of the most powerful ways of, at least for me, to get into past lives and then out into the ethers, out into the cosmos. It was mind-blowing.
There are a lot of tools out there, you know, and the thing is that if they're effective and they work on you, hey, more power to you. I do have a process where I actually ask my past wife to come forward, which I did this morning. She came through and I said, okay, we got to be done with this once and for all because certain things are not acceptable. We need to resolve it and heal it. So I go into an empty room in my mind. I have one of my family members or an avatar that walked this planet and ask them to be on my right side. Then past life is in front of me. We're standing in this room and we're all connected at the heart. And I tell her, I'm the you of the future. And I need to know what had happened in the past that is still bleeding over into this lifetime because it's limiting us. So she'll talk or he'll talk and they'll give me the information about past lives. And what I do is I say, okay, but that's not happening anymore. So what I do is once we resolve this, I have that past life walk into and anchor itself into my heart. I want you to feel safe now. We're fine. We're doing well. And when you do that, you're getting love from the avatar, from the family member on the other side. They're sending you love and actually healing the whole process. And then you can continue your day after that. It's a visualization one.
It's a great one.
I found that worked because it really helped me understand my dynamic with my dad. My dad was not a nice person growing up. Used to beat the shit out of me all the time, like daily, for wetting the bed. And so I finally went to the past life and realized that I actually did the same thing to him. So I thought, okay, now I know why. Mm-hmm. And so that's another way of doing it. The last way that I didn't mention before is that when people come to me and they don't want to use these, I actually go into the archives, their archives, mm-hmm. the Akashic Records,
right.
that release who they were. And all the way I start off is I'll say, okay, this is a phobia that you have, and this is why. Or I'll say, this is the past life, and it manifested as a phobia in this lifetime. Like they might have arthritis in their joints, and they don't know why. So then I go back, and I look at a past life, and there it is. Everything reveals itself, and as it says, asking, you shall receive. There is no better truth than that.
Right.
When you ask, you better be ready. Because
right.
you're going to get the answers.
Well, and then on the plus side, what I have found through the years is when I identify where something's coming from for one of my clients or students, it alleviates it. It goes away. Just the knowledge, I would say 60% of the time, just the knowledge yes. of where it came from releases it.
Absolutely. Great point, Maria, because you don't need it anymore. It heals and it's gone. I mean, it's like, you know, I've had a lot of health issues in this lifetime and I turned them all around last year. But I kept asking the extraterrestrials who are scientists, the ones from Andromeda, I said, you know, would you heal my knees? Would you heal my back? Would you heal my blood pressure? Would you heal my diabetes and blah, blah, blah. And they came to me and they said, you can do it yourself. We're not going to give you the information for the other because your minds are not ready to take on that kind of information because it's going to be misused. So they guided me. It's kind of like I started off at Stonehenge asking these questions. And when I got home, I started getting all the answers all by themselves. And sure enough, not diabetic, don't have high blood pressure anymore. My knees are still an issue, you know, because there's no cartilage. But and also I got right treatment for the spine and the neck. And but everything's starting to heal. And what I was told to say from those extraterrestrials was, please reset me to the default settings. And I said, you mean like a computer? And they said, exactly. When your computer crashes, don't you have a default? And I said, yeah. And it fixes everything, right? And I said, yeah. And they said, you can do that same thing with your own DNA and with your life. You can reset everything to the default settings, and it'll clear up everything. But it'll show you the way to get there. So we have our work to do as well. It was really an interesting exchange when they came to me. But the one that appeared to me, the 7-foot-tall blonde-haired blue eyes, he was in my bedroom as a hologram. And he was just looking at me. And the same with the Asian lady that came through. They were just looking at me. And one came through that was very tall with dark hair. He said, I'm with David right now. And then what happened is I said, David Icke. And so I sent him an email. I said, this is the guy that's with you right now. His name is Zoltek. And so he woke up. He said, and they told me, he's asleep right now. So I sent him an email. He responded. He goes, I was asleep in my living room, like he said. He says, I left the computer on, and when I turned on, when I was listening to the computer, they were talking about extraterrestrials, specifically one named Zoltek. And I thought, that is interesting.
Right.
You know?
Right. Coincidence. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. So anyway, it's when you're tuned into people that you really care for, you do get a lot of information for them, you know?
Oh, and yeah. Listen, there are times I'll get information or dream for people that I'm not close to, like my chiropractor or this person or that person. But, you know, if they've come in some sort of physical contact with me, I guess I pick up their vibe. But, you know, especially one of my chiropractors, you know, I used to dream for him like regularly. And I would call him and tell him. And he would always freak out because he said, that's exactly what's going on. So.
Oh, gee, I guess I'm psychic.
Right, so you're my dream man.
That's funny. Yeah, it's interesting. When you're in this field, nothing surprises me anymore, you know. And I'm not blown away like I used to be at the beginning because I've been doing this 45 years. So I tell people, I'm not a newbie, so I'm not shocked. And people that start off, they're going to have one thing after another that's going to blow them away. But that's what keeps you going.
I know. You know? Well, it keeps me in a state of awe. And I've been doing it forever, too. You know, I don't think I ever lose my awe.
Yeah, that's what keeps you going, though.
Right.
And when people validate things, you know, and this gift is not given to just some, it's given to everyone. So therefore, to me, it's not a gift. It's just opening and using different parts of the brain because we're saying you only use maybe 10 or 15% of the brain. Well, guess what else is back there? You know, when I do mediumship work, I'm using a different part of the brain. If I'm doing predictive work, I'm using a different part of the brain. If I'm doing clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentience, it's a different part of the brain. You know, but it's cool to activate that. The only problem I have, Marianne, I don't know if you have this problem either, but I'm in the alpha state all day long, so it's harder for me to go to sleep at night.
No,
I don't,
very rare, but when I can't sleep, I know I need to pay attention to my thoughts.
Yeah,
but
no,
believe me, I sleep like the dead. It's like
as soon as I
go out, I know that I am out of this universe as soon as I'm sleeping. And I'm just soaring about, not snoring about. Well, I said soaring about.
Just for your listeners, if you are interested also in past lives, use one of these methods that we were talking about. Or if you're interested in extraterrestrials, you ask them to come and visit you. They will scan you the first time because they come through three times. They will scan you to see if you're just joking or if you really mean it. So they're going to get close to you. But it's going to be invisible. They'll be in a different frequency. If you continue to want them to, they'll come through a second time, but they'll actually enter the home. But you won't be able to see them, but they're going to check you out. If you say the third time that you really want to work with them, then they will agree with you, and then they will make themselves known. Just so you know that's how it works out with everybody that I've spoken to.
Well, there you have it. Well, thanks so much, Monica, for joining me today. It's all ad-libbed, by the way, everybody. This is all off-the-cuff ad-libbed. We have no scripts in front of us.
No, nothing. That's why we ended up going kind of like in different places, but that's all right. I believe everything ties itself together, and I saw that happened today, too.
Absolutely. Well, you take care. We'll talk soon, doll.
Thank you, honey.
All right.
Bye.
Love you, too. Monica Sepulveda. Check her out at Monica with two N's. MONNICA.com. Well, I hope you got something useful for yourself out of this today. And I will be back on Thursday with the news of this reality. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.